and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, thanks so much for that. Welcome. I am Pastor Ed, and with Michelle, we get to lead everything that's called Valley Church, and it's an honour and privilege. And the first thing I want to say is welcome to this Sunday. If it's your very first time you've tuned in and you're just having a look today, then we just want to say a massive welcome and a welcome, as always, to all the regulars. Today is Compassion Sunday, and I love Compassion Sunday. I love Compassion Sunday for all sorts of reasons. I'm a fan of compassion and all that they do. It's something I believe in. I believe both in the heart of it and in the difference that they are making. I have had the privilege of going and visiting our children that we have as a family and seeing them in their homes and talking to their parents and the difference it's making to the children. I've been to the projects, talk to the staff there and seen their heart and passion. And I've also talked to some of the graduates of the compassion work, their compassion kind of scheme, and seen the difference it made for them and their families, and to see some of them going actually back into their communities with a passion to change their communities from the inside out. And compassion is a marvelous, marvelous organization. But I'm not here really to tell you about compassion, but I wanted to let you know about that. I'm really here to give you a message, as it were, to set you up. You see, for me, compassion, I love it because I'm reminded of the children that we sponsor. But it's also a chance, and a chance that I take, and I want you to take this morning, for me to check my heart. How's my heart doing in the line of the poor and disenfranchised? James 1, the Apostle James writes this, in James 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And it's actually quoting from Jeremiah 22, verse 16. And Jeremiah says this. He says, he, talking about King Josiah, he defended the cause of the poor and the needy, so all went well with him. Is this not what it means to be righteous, declares the Lord? And my question today is this: how is your heart towards the poor and needy? How is your heart towards the needy? If you want a title, it's this: a heart check. Well, before I begin, I want to pray. Father, we thank you so much that we get to come together. Yes, we're scattered, but we're gathered today. And Father, I pray as we gather that you would speak to us, speak to me, speak to everybody who's listening. Help us to check our hearts where they are before you and before the people that you love. And particularly in this message, Father, the poor, the needy, the widow, those who need our help. How is our heart towards them? And Father, I pray, as I always pray, if there's any here who don't know you and they're just having a look, Father, I pray, reveal yourself to them this morning, that they may know that you're there, that you love them, and that you're open for a relationship with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before I get to my points, I should say this. You know, actually, thinking about the poor and the needy, I struggle with. And it's not that I don't care. I do care. I honestly, genuinely care. But there's two things happen in my life, and I suggest maybe in your life, that means that it's not that I don't care. I forget. They seem so far away. Distance from me means that I just don't think about them. Perhaps you're sat there and saying, you know, Pastor Ed, it's not that I don't care. I don't see it, so I don't think about it. And it's true. But perhaps you do something about that. I try every other year at least to go and visit one of the poorer nations. And this year, in late winter, in January, I went to India to see our Vision Rescue children, to get my heart broken, to make sure that my heart is tender as God's heart is to those through no fault of their own, are poor and in need of food and of finance and of education. So sometimes distances. The other thing that for me, it's not distance, I just get distracted. It's not that I don't care, I just get distracted. I'm busy working, I have a family, I'm living a happy life, and I get distracted. And as I start this, I don't want you to feel guilty. I mean, you might need to feel guilty, but I don't want you to feel guilty. It could just be that distance and distraction is stopping what's in your heart really showing itself. But I want to suggest perhaps you need to do something about that. Put reminders in, put yourself in places where your heart can be stirred from time to time. Don't feel guilty, but do something about it. Well, the Bible talks about certain groups of people that we as Christians should be taking care of, those who are poor in our world. And three particular groups I want to talk about. The first one, the first group is this, that we are called to look after our family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 says this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 says this. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and their grandparents. Verse 8, Paul nails it, he says this. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. Well, that's called being nailed, right? And the Bible says the first poor and needy people we should be taking care of is our own family, our parents, our grandparents, our children, or maybe our cousins or our aunties and uncles, those in our family who need our health and care. Now, for those of you who are watching this who live in the UK, we have a marvellous state system, pensions, we have healthcare, we are blessed. And are those who are old, our parents and grandparents, looked after so well by the state. But that doesn't absolve us from our responsibility of spending time with them, helping them financially if they do need help, giving them gifts of various things to know that they're loved and they're precious in our sight. We are to care, firstly, I believe, for our family. And I just want to let you know this. It doesn't matter how far away they are. In our modern world, we can still care for them. And it doesn't matter, church, what they have done to us over the years. And I know for some ago, you know, well, my parents weren't good to me. They might have even done something really horrible. Can I suggest if you love Jesus, that you take that to him? You might need some help with some friends or even a counsellor, but to process that so that you can forgive them. And God will help you to forgive them. And then from that place of forgiveness, you can then love them and care for them as each one of us are called to. The second group of people is the people of God, the local church. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10 says this. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 10 says this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will receive eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good to all people. And I'll come into all people in a second. But it says this, and especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How's your heart towards the family of believers? Are you caring for them, for those in need, for those who need help? How is your heart? Now, I know for many of you, you're suddenly going, I think he's pretty good. And you know, I want to say, as pastor, that, you know, so many of you are doing so well at taking care of the family of God. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of everybody to everybody for every meal that's been provided. And I know some of the mums and dads and families out there going, oh my goodness, I had 2 full weeks of meals. Thank you so much. I know for Helen and Phil, they've been blown away by the help both from church and the local community after their house fire. I know they'd like to say thank you so much to all of you. So I want to say thank you. And I know because I hear stories, not just of food, but of all sorts of gifts. I've heard gifts of holidays, even the odd car being given to those in need. So way to go. Let's keep it up. That's a second area. First family, then the church, the family, God's family. And then thirdly, to the wider world. Now, the wider world, well, it's huge. And if you're like me, you sometimes look at the wider world, you think, well, there's so many people need my help. There's so many organizations need my help. What am I supposed to do? How can I possibly solve it all? Well, my friend, you're not called to solve it all. Jesus is recording both in Matthew 26 verse 11, Mark 14 verse 7, and John 12 verse 8. He's recorded the same thing, that the poor will always be with us. I don't believe that we can solve the issue of poverty, but we can solve the issue of poverty for somebody. And even though we can't solve everything, we can each one of us solve something. And that's the call of a Christian. And to do that both generously and freely. Jesus calls his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 8, Jesus says, "Freely I have given you, therefore freely give." Paul records for us in Acts 20, verse 35, the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." And throughout the whole of the Bible, we're called to be generous. Proverbs actually says, if you will be generous, then God will bless you. And there's this idea, this concept in the Old Testament, that if you would care for those who are poor and those who are in need, that God will pour resources into that person's life because he knows that they will use them wisely. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says this, "He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them will receive many curses." Well, I guess that's true. Proverbs 11, 24 says this, "One man gives freely or generously, yet gains even more, while another withholds unduly, and he comes to poverty." How is your help towards your heart? How is your heart towards your family, towards the body of believers, the local church, and towards the wider world? Does it reflect God's heart of love for each and every individual on our planet? How is your heart? I have one last thought, and then we're going to carry on and hand over to the next section. One last thought. Do you know, we can give financially, we can give our stuff, we can give our time to help people, and that's all good. But if you love Jesus, I have a greater gift, a superior gift that puts those other gifts into a pale second place. We have the greatest gift, the gift of eternity, the gift of salvation, the gift of hope and purpose and meaning, the gift of a relationship with God. We have the greatest gift, and his name is Jesus. Is your heart there at giving Jesus to the people in your world, to your family, to people in church that don't yet know Jesus, to the wider world? Are you giving them the greatest gift? Is your heart there in that? You see, if you're not, I can think of only two reasons why you're not giving the greatest gift to other people, and his name is Jesus. Either you don't really love them. You don't love them. You don't want them to be with you in heaven, in eternity. You don't want them to have a relationship with Jesus like you have. You don't love them. And I know most of you watching this go like, "No, I definitely love them. Definitely love them." Well, maybe it's a second reason. And perhaps for some of you, this is your heart check moment today as you watch this. Do you really realize the gift that God has given you when his son Jesus died on the cross for you, when you started a relationship with God, and now that you have eternity in your heart, your sins have been forgiven, you're washed clean and pure, and you have purpose and meaning and hope in your life? Do you realize the gift you have, the precious nature of it, the infinite value of the gift that you have? Do you realize that gift? Because if you did, you'd want to give it to absolutely everybody you could ever possibly meet, because it is the greatest gift. As I said, our help physically or financially, our time pales into a distant, insignificant second compared to the gift of Jesus in people's lives. Do you know, perhaps for one or two of you, you'll listen to this and say, "Well, I don't know Jesus yet." Well, once I've finished and prayed, somebody is going to come and just lead you through a prayer to, if you would like, to begin a relationship with God. Do you know, on this Compassion Sunday, I always have this kind of double heart check. Is my heart soft to those in need? And the second heart check is this. And is my heart there to give the greatest gift to every single one of them? And his name is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus. Father, I pray that we may give each and every person we meet Jesus and the opportunity to have a relationship with him. Fathers, help us to realize, and for some I know this too, help us to realize the significance of having a relationship with you, the significance of eternity and of heaven, God, that is real, that life beyond this is actually longer and bigger and greater than what we have today. And Father, I pray too that help each one of us to reflect your heart for the poor and the needy, those who need our help, be it in our family or in our church or in the wider community, even to the other side of the world in Brazil. Father, help us to keep our hearts soft towards that as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.